take it on, take it on.
Chapter 4. It takes Tim a week to work out an off switch for the cameras in his room. A program that switches them off at the press of a button when Jason's face gets that intent look that leads to one of them losing their pants in the next 3 minutes. Tim gets to use that button a lot. Tim has made the top floor of his home as self-contained as possible. Made it so that he only needs to go downstairs to leave and nothing else. He has a small kitchen in one of the rooms that was probably meant to be a guest bedroom, a college fridge, microwave, and a plug-in stove range, just for the times when he's too tired to stop by a diner or restaurant on the way home. He doesn't use it too often, but he notices when things start appearing in his fridge and the shelves he uses as cabinets. Boxes of granola bars that have fruit and chocolate in them, which makes Tim grimace. Bottles of various fruit-flavored water also appears in his fridge, and disappears regularly enough for Tim to appreciate the full variety of flavored water that is on the market. It's not Jason. Jason leaves clothes and gear behind, tucked away so skillfully that Tim almost misses half of the things Jason's leaving with him. He doesn't ask Babs to review the feeds from his house because he already knows who it is, even before he comes home early enough one night to catch her on her break. "Your boyfriend is a douche," Robin, says as Tim enters his room. She's perched on the chair in front of his computer, a solitaire game open as she eats one of her awful granola bars and drinks one of the kiwi-flavored bottles of water. "Hello, Robin." Tim hangs his bag off the knob of his closet and places his camera on the other side of the computer. He fights the pleased flush that wants to rise up in him. A little excited voice going on about how Robin is in his room! He's not 9 anymore. He shouldn't be this starstruck. Especially since he's known Stephanie for a few years now. "How's patrol and life in general treating you?" "Douche," Robin repeats, as she drags a red 6 onto a black 7. "Grade AAA asshole. A bastard. A complete and raging dickhead. How could you choose such a..." "I could say some very pointed things about your taste in boyfriends," Tim cuts in. He's not mad. Not really. He can't blame her for this. Jason really hasn't done anything to endear himself with his family, and especially not the new Robin. "But I'm not." "No, you never do, except to give me that I told you so look." Robin grimaces and clicks on a few cards. She looks over her shoulder at him as he settles on his bed, probably glaring, though it's hard to see through the mask. "I'm just saying something now so I won't be a hypocrite later when I return the favor." Tim doesn't like the track this conversation is taking. Doesn't like thinking too hard about the future. Mostly because he's sure his own views on that will be even more pessimistic than Robin's. Which is why he doesn't do it all that often if he can help it. "I thought you were only allowed to use pre-approved stops for breaks." Robin sniffs and turns back to the computer. "Who's gonna notice a block or two difference?" Batman? Tim points out, because he has a hard time imagining the man missing anything. The only person more informed than him in the entire city is Babs. For obvious reasons. "Psh!" Robin flaps a hand over her shoulder as she blows off his perfectly reasonable disbelief. If he minded, he would have said something before now. Which is true. By his estimate, she's been breaking into his house for 2 weeks now. Maybe 3. It's always possible she started the night Babs broke his secret. "All right, I just want the records to show that I protested and pointed out the obvious flaws here," Tim lays down. He's not tired, too used to being up late, and he looks at his school bag. Contemplates the essay he has due tomorrow for all of 5 seconds. His history grade is good and can absorb the hit. Brings his GPA back down enough for him to not be remarkable.
Noted,
Robin intones, making her voice deep and kind of gritty. She's making fun of Batman, obviously. And Tim wonders if she's as bugged as Bam has him. Which brings up a whole other topic that's been worrying Tim for a while.
So,
Tim grimaces and picks his words, fully aware he's probably inviting this on himself. Am I going to wake up one night and get threatened or something? Robin's head tilts to the side, but she doesn't look back at him. She sounds curious when she asks, "You mean that hasn't happened yet?" No, Tim admits, and feels his stomach sink, because he was right. Asking is just inviting it. He's going to wake up pretty soon and find Batman looming over him. It's a terrifying thought, because Batman's a terrifying man. Also, Tim's not sure if he'd be able to restrain his more fanish tendencies if faced by the man. Tim still wrestles with the urge to focus on Batman when he runs across the man while scouting for information. Even now that he's older and knows more. Now that the idealistic image he has of heroes isn't so pristine anymore. Well, hope you weren't looking forward to sleeping anytime soon. Robin spins in the chair, the window closed, and she's crushing the empty bottle down into a tiny wad that will fit into one of the compartments on her belt. She's grinning. Wide and mean, like she only gets around Nightwing.
I don't get much sleep to begin with,
Tim grumbles, as she goes to his open window and perches on it, one hand going up to grab the roof above.
Oh, we'll step in if I get even less.
Robin shrugs, completely unconcerned with his worries.
It's been a while since she had a proper reason to yell at him.
She rolls out and up with an ease that makes Tim wonder, again, how no one ever notices exactly how muscular that girl is. Tim sighs and rolls his head to look at the camera on his computer.
Feel free to save me at any time.
His phone is silent, and Tim rolls his eyes. Great! He turns over onto his stomach and closes his eyes.
He won't sleep so soon, but maybe if he pretends, he can get this over with.
Tim wakes up as the mattress shifts, and he doesn't bother opening his eyes because he can smell Jason even before the man sprawls out over him, squirming under the blanket and burying a very cold nose in Tim's neck.
Hey, babe.
Cold,
Tim grumps, and then hisses as Jason immediately shoves his equally cold hands up under his shirt.
Jason! Need to warm up, don't I?
Jason asks with a laugh, and holds on tight as Tim tries to squirm out of his hold. Keeps his hands right where they are until Tim gives up and goes limp. Jason places a soft kiss on the back of his neck and settles in even closer.
Go to sleep.
Tim grumbles a little, but closes his eyes and lets himself be eased to sleep by the heat of Jason wrapping around him, and the sound of Jason's heart under Tim's ear. Batman doesn't wake Tim up in the middle of the night. He waits for Tim to isolate himself on a roof. Another political aide and another scandal that's slowly gathering steam. Tim's fairly sure it's the same woman he saw making deals with the mayor's aide a few months back, just under a new dye job. It's something he is going to have to look into more closely, because seeing a repeat face in this business is rarely a coincidence.
Tim gets a few good shots in before the lights go out, and he is immediately aware that he's not alone anymore. Probably hasn't been for a while. Tim licks his lips and contemplates ignoring it, but he tensed when he felt it, and there's no way he can pull off ignorance now. Tim turns slowly, keeping his camera up, finger on the flash, and totally isn't surprised to find Batman looming over him. "Hi," Tim says cautiously, and the man doesn't even twitch. He's doing that thing that they all do, using his mere presence to put pressure on Tim. And it's working. It's working, but Tim's not really sure what the man wants, so it's probably not working as much as he wants it to. Can I help you? Oracle is conspicuously silent, both in the earbud she'd pressed on him and through the phone that's still his primary means of contacting her. Batman is silent for a pointed few seconds, and he doesn't shift at all when he starts talking.
When did you find out?
Oh, didn't tell you? Tim blinks and sits down, getting some pressure off his knees. This could be quick or long. Either way, he might as well be comfortable. He's a bit surprised. He thought she'd told everything. Batman doesn't move, but he seems to swell to a bigger size, and his looming gets heavier. 7 years ago? Tim can hear the wind blowing over the roof, the sound of cars driving blocks away, faint sirens far in the distance, even the faint creak of armor as Batman, slowly, kneels down into a crouch that looks very uncomfortable given the man's size.
How?
Nightwing. Tim nearly trips over the tangle of names for Dick and shifts uncomfortably under the wide glare of the man's mask lenses. Robin, then. He's got a distinctive way of moving. I recognized it.
7 years is a long time,
Batman eventually says, after a minute-long stare-off.
You never told anyone.
Tim can't tell if that's a question or not, and answers it anyway. No, why would I? Batman stares at him again, looking for something, maybe. And Tim starts to get the urge to take pictures of him. He's never been this close to the man before while in uniform. He's fairly sure trying will end with his camera in pieces, though. Batman grunts and stands fluidly, looming over him again, but there's no weight to it this time. Apparently, that's it. The whole big talk. Tim wonders how much he owes Babs for the ease of it.
Red Hood.
Batman starts a sentence and doesn't finish it. The potential to how it could end hangs in the air, and Tim can feel many different things. None of them are things he likes. Yeah, no. Good talk, though. Thanks for stopping by. Tim gets back onto his knees and turns around pointedly, bringing the camera back up and watching the room for the flicker of light. There's no indication of Batman leaving, but when Tim turns around after the transaction is complete, the roof is empty. Tim doesn't panic or freak out. He just hops a series of buses and lets himself into Bab's place. He steals a mug of coffee and goes into her workroom, ignoring the flickering feeds on the various monitors, and curls up under one of the desks, leaning against a bank of humming towers. Out of sight and unable to see anything going on, as Babs works her magic and answers various calls. She ignores his presence and graciously allows Tim to gather his thoughts.
most of which are screaming, gibbering variations of, "Oh God, that was Batman!"
You did good, kid. Most people can't hold it all in. He gets his head patted like a dog when he eventually rolls out. And at least he didn't ambush you in your sleep. Say thank you.
Thank you, Babs, Tim dutifully says. And he is thankful. He's still just a little shaky. A little.
Go home. Babs pushes him away from the coffee pot in her workroom. I'll have something really nice for you to work on tomorrow.
Yay, Tim says, and trudges out, listening to Babs go back to feeding information to people. There's a parent-teacher conference night at school. It's not mandatory, and the only parents who seem to show up are for the freshmen. The only students gullible enough to show the announcement of it to their parents. All the other kids are smart enough to hide all the evidence of it.
Tim hangs out on the second floor and watches the parents milling in the main hall below him. They're all bright and happy-looking people, shaking hands with the other parents and teachers while they drag their clearly embarrassed children around behind them. There were meetings when he was in private school, usually at the beginning of the year, and never as social as these gatherings are. He remembers sitting on a seat between his parents in the uniform of the year, while whoever was in charge, sometimes a principal, other times a headmaster, and once a professor, assured them that Tim would learn only from the best. He's not entirely sure what was ever gained through those meetings, or what can be gained from the ones he's seeing now.
Hey, Creeper,
Steph collapses next to him neatly, her elbows going just wide enough on the railing to nudge annoyingly at him. She looks down at the hole with the same confused apathy Tim has.
Man, this sucks so bad.
Well, it's not like Tim starts to say something about neither of them having to worry about it as he shifts to accommodate her elbow, but a sharp nudge from his other side cuts that off fast. Tim jerks as another body crowds him, and he's effectively pinned.
Between Steph and Dick Grayson.
Aw, too embarrassed that your big brother's here to see your teachers? Dick teases with a wide grin, and doesn't seem to even acknowledge that he's leaning on Tim to look at her.
Yes, Steph says, blunt and cruel in her honesty. I'm embarrassed by you on principle. Forget being seen with you in public.
She turns to look at Tim and jerks a thumb at Dick.
He flirts with every teacher, every single one of them.
Tim can believe it. He's seen enough of Dick Grayson to know that even before he went to Babs, even before she got comfortable enough around him to get, well, it's not bitter, maybe wistful, when she's tired or drunk enough and talks about before.
Even, yes,
Steph says with exasperation that she really doesn't feel. If any of them start holding me back to ask stupid questions about you, Dick, I'm going to give them your real number and let you deal with your own mess this time. An arm steals around Tim's shoulder, and he puts more energy than he should into not doing something embarrassing, like squeaking or blushing. Though from the smirk on Steph's face, he's failed horribly on one of those accounts. Do you hear this? This is the gratitude I get for being such an awesome big brother that I take an interest in my little sister's school life, giving up my day off to come in and support her.
Dick squeezes, and Tim kind of wants to curl up in a corner because he thought he was over this years ago.
Definitely should be over it now that he's got Jason crawling into his bed nearly every night.
Not a thought to have when Dick's got him under his arm and is nearly plastered all along Tim's right side. From shoulder to ankle.
It's common for Dick, from what Tim's been given to understand, but it's just
Not the sort of contact he's used to getting from anyone besides Jason. Steph snorts and punches Dick in the arm around Tim. The force of it goes through Dick and into Tim, making them both flinch. Whatever. Stop molesting my friends. Why do you always accuse me of that? Dick's amused, but also puzzled, even as he lets Tim loose. And Tim knows about this from many rants from many different people. He leans away from Dick, almost crowding Steph off the railing, but doesn't actually step away. I think the term octopus has been used to describe you. A lot. Mostly by Babs, but he's heard it from plenty of other people, too. Friendly is another word, and that's used with varying levels of a leer. Dick laughs and goes back to leaning on the railing, looking about half a second away from flipping over the railing. And who would use such a slanderous word to describe me? Dick's smiling, but there's a hint of a brittle edge to it that Tim's used to seeing in Babs. Usually, after he pretends not to have heard her ignoring requests to drop the voice synthesizer and hologram. So Tim doesn't blurt out the first name he thinks of. Roy, usually. Dick's eyes go wide and shocked looking. His voice strangled as his whole body tenses.
Roy?
Leanne, too, sometimes. Tim thinks about moving to step behind Steph. She likes repeating everything he says, you know? Much to Roy's horror when the girl repeats what her daddy says when he stubs a toe to Dinah. For a hero, he does it a lot. Tim's friends with Connor, Steph breaks in, as Dick just continues to stare at him, and Tim blinks. He's not sure how she knows that, but he's also not sure how Dick didn't know it. He turns to look at her. Steph smirks at him and says,
Mia's on the Titans now and asked if I knew you. Said to tell you to visit them again soon. Something about the crazy reaching critical proportions.
Which, yeah, is kind of the vibe he'd been getting from the few words he's been able to pry out of Connor the last few weeks through emails.
Yeah, I'll see what Dinah's schedule is like.
Dick's smiling again when Tim looks back. Broad, like his smile from before wasn't big enough. And Tim has a nice view of the man's very white teeth. They glint a little in the light, almost as much as his eyes. And cold fear rushes through Tim, because Dick's got a kind of manic look to him.
So, Timmy, you ever thought about working with a team?
Tim does squeak, and Steph just cackles as Dick starts going on about the importance of support positions.
It's not a bad idea.
Tim gets the text mere seconds after he manages to squirm out of the recruitment speech and head out on his first task of the day, getting himself something vaguely nutritious and greasy enough to last him through most of the night.
Says who?
Tim mutters, because Babs will hear it, even as he types out a response.
Don't I have enough to do here?
His phone vibrates, and Tim accepts the call even as he avoids the crowds bustling along the streets. He keeps his head up and eyes open, looking for the shifting body and long stare of pickpockets, looking for distracted marks.
No, you really don't,
Babs says. And Tim can hear the feeds in the background, one of which he knows is the one he'd planted the night before from the faint music that filters to the phone.
Besides, a big part of this job is networking. You can't get anything if you don't know people, Tim. You know that.
Yeah, but you manage just fine. Is a shade too bitchy and just on the wrong side of wrong to get a serious verbal smackdown.
Babs had a history behind her that she built into the empire she presides over now.
Just think about it,
Babs says, when he fails to come up with a reason more valid than panic and plain just not wanting to.
Dick will press, but if you say no, he'll back right off. All right?
All right, Tim says, and his eyes catch on a diner that serves burgers that drip greases with every bite.
It'd also help if you said it as a statement and not a question,
she says, back to being all sorts of amused that Tim just can't deal with at the moment. I'll text it to him then, Tim says, and hangs up before he has to listen to Babs laugh in his ear at him. He needs grease and fries. He'll think about it. All of it. Just later. Jason seems to go out of his way to bump into Tim at night on jobs, dropping in with the mask on while Tim's meticulously gathering visual evidence, or dropping into step next to him while he's pacing territories off in civilian clothes. Or as close as Jason gets to civilian clothes, anyway. The only difference between Red Hood and Jason most of the time is the presence of a mask or domino. Tim gets used to it, and isn't surprised anymore when he leans back from recording a deal and finds himself leaning into an armored chest. Hey. One of these days I'm going to stretch and hit you on accident, Tim says, as arms fold across his chest and lips find the skin of his neck, making the last words a little breathless. I can take it. Jason's voice is low and makes Tim shiver. You off the clock yet? Tim has been officially done for an hour now. He's just been following up on some leads on his own. Sure. Why? You got something planned? Yes. Jason turns Tim around, and he's not wearing the mask despite the armor Tim can feel through his shirt. He's not patrolling, then. Jason steps back, then, instead of going for the kiss Tim expects. Come home with me? You have a home? Tim asks, even as he feels himself flush, because that's not a phrase that Tim's heard Jason say before. He's sure that's deliberate. Several of them, actually, all throughout the city, but I don't really have a plan. Jason admits with a grin that fades just a bit. He reaches up to rub at Tim's lips. Just want to lay you out on a bed right now. Okay, Tim agrees, mouth going dry as he leans into Jason's hand, reaching out to curl his fingers into Jason's belt, pinky finger brushing against the holster hidden under his jacket. Sounds like a good plan to me anyway. Jason's grin is full of filthy promise, and Tim swallows hard as he follows. Jason leads him to an actual apartment. It's not in the roughest building Tim's been in, but it's also not nearly as nice as Tim knows the man can afford. It's a safe house that can be used and abandoned easily. Tim wonders if Jason ever stays in one spot longer than a week. Probably not. Tim's home is probably as close to a steady address the man has, and that should be a sad thought that doesn't warm Tim's heart the way it actually does. There's a couch that looks like it may have come with the place. A kitchen in the corner of the one-room place, opposite of the corner where the new-looking mattress has been placed on the floor. Familiar-looking duffel bags and boxes line the opposite side of the room, open to show hints of their contents, and Tim wonders if Jason's lucky it's all still there, or if people just know better than to try and rob him. Tim takes the place in quick glances, forming theories in the seconds it takes Jason to push Tim onto the bed and strip him of every layer of clothing he has. Fast and efficient, even as he keeps Tim's mouth busy. Tim groans and yanks on the back of Jason's jacket, hard enough for him to pull away with a grin. Yeah, guess I should lose it, huh?
It's not fair if I'm the only one naked, Tim manages to say, despite the way his tongue feels thick and clumsy in his mouth. He sits up and works on Jason's belt and jeans, getting them open and sagging under the weight of the gun, revealing nothing but bare skin for Tim to touch. Fucking, Jason curses, and he's bent back, fingers working at his boots awkwardly from his kneeling position on the bed. Tim laughs and does absolutely nothing to help. Jason, the lines of defined muscles and scars put on display with the arching, with his tongue and teeth. Counting the times, Jason fumbles and getting his hand down into Jason's pants, fingers curling around his dick and caressing it lightly. Oh, you cock tease! Tim only laughs louder when Jason shifts and shoves him away, shoving him flat on the bed before curling around to rip his boots and jeans off. The gun makes a loud clatter as it falls, almost muffling the slam of boots and the growl Jason gives as he falls on top of Tim, covering him with his body and kissing him until he is too breathless to laugh anymore. Jason's hard and pressed tight against him, and Tim pushes up, grinding his own erection against Jason. A touch to the inside of his knees makes him pull them up and spread his legs, getting his feet planted firmly on the bed as Jason breaks off their kissing and pulls back, eyes raking down Tim's body even as he reaches up, coming back with a familiar tube that Tim hadn't even realized was missing from his place. He decides to say something about it later, though. Any words he might have said now dissolve into meaningless mush when Jason pushes one finger in him, thrusting it in and out almost lazily and leaning down to nip at Tim's shoulder. Love doing this to you, Jason mutters as he presses a second finger in, going slow and waiting for Tim's breathing to steady before spreading them. He gets so relaxed when I'm fucking you with my fingers, so focused on me inside you. Tim moans and pushes down when he feels a third finger, feeling himself stretching out. And Jason's right. He is focused totally on feeling Jason. All of him. The fingers in him, the body over him, the lips against his ears, the weight of his eyes as he pushes up enough to look down at him. Tim closes his eyes and rolls down onto Jason's hand, moaning because he doesn't think he'll ever really get used to this. Get tired of it. Can I? Jason asks, and Tim opens his eyes to look up at Jason. He's looking down at Tim, eyes nearly all pupil, black and hungry, as he spreads his fingers and nearly begs. Let me fuck you. Yes. Tim doesn't hesitate. They've done things, lots of things, wonderful things. Tim's not stupid enough to think it wasn't sex, but the societal expectation of real sex being penetrative in some way is surprisingly hard to buck. Which is funny, considering how deep Jason's fingers are in Tim, and he'd laugh, but Jason's pressing in hard one last time before pulling his fingers out, and Tim moans. Roll over. Jason's slicking up his dick, and Tim can only stare for a dumb moment at his hand moving before he complies, laying flat and turning his head back as far as he can to watch Jason as he pulls Tim's legs open, knees pressing against the inside of his thighs and hands moving up to grip his ass. Prettiest damn picture right here. Jason leans down and kisses him, plunges his tongue into Tim's mouth, even as thumbs run down his crack and a blunt head nudges up against him. Large, and a little flash of terror runs through Tim as he struggles to remind himself that it's not that much bigger than the fingers Jason's used on him. Fails as Jason pushes and slides in with a gasp that could actually be from either of them. It's weird.
slippery and far too big to fit, just a little painful as Jason groans and pants into his ear. Just the tip, baby. Just the tip. You're fine. So, oh, fuck. Tim whines and shakes under him, face pressed into the pillow as the tip becomes more. A solid length that pushes deeper, achingly slow, and Jason falls to pieces behind him. Tim wants to call it all off, ask for more fingers, more time, but the way Jason's gibbering absolute nonsense makes him want to not end this at all. Despite the ache, the sharp stabs of occasional pain. Baby, oh, fuck, you feel so... Jason's face pressed tight against his back, lips running over his skin and haphazard kisses landing between Tim's shoulders. Jason's hands are fisted, white-knuckled in the sheets beside Tim's head. He can see the fine tremors in his arms when he turns his head. The only sign Tim has that Jason is holding back. So damn tight. Oh, so good. Relax. Come on, baby. Relax for me. Please. Tim makes a noise at the words, at Jason holding still and repeating, please, over and over again. He's desperate and begging, and so far from the flirtatious and confident Jason that Tim's been dealing with for months now. He believes it now. The confession Jason had made the first night they kissed, impossible as it had seemed then, of never having done this before. Tim shivers and bites his lip as some of the sharp pain fades, tension easing in his shoulders and back. A tenseness that he hadn't realized was there until it goes, and Jason's suddenly all the way inside of him. His hips pressing tight to Tim, and Jason's full-throated moan rattling in his ears. The ache is still there, but as Jason holds absolutely still, even that begins to fade. Tim shuts his dry mouth and forces himself to swallow. Get moisture in there so his voice doesn't croak so much. Jason. Jason hisses and flexes, his hips rolling ever so slightly and making Tim's breath stutter at the feeling of it. It's okay, baby. Tim, just... Jason laughs, more air than vocal noise. Just give me a bit. Feeling you around me? Fuck, I'll blow my load in the next 10 seconds. Tim moans and turns his face to the side, blinking at the dark room and taking in the feel of everything. The scratchy sheets under him, Jason's weight pinning him down, the stretch of Jason's thighs spreading his legs apart, and the shocky feel of fleeting pleasure as Jason moves in incredibly small ways inside of him. There's a faded smell of cigarettes and the warmth of Jason's breath washing over his back. The soft slide of Jason's lips up his neck, and the shiver-inducing scrape of teeth against the abused spot that Jason never lets heal. It's overwhelming and has to be taken in pieces as Tim forgets the pain and discomfort. His own dick coming back to life under him, growing hard against the bed as Tim gasps and humps the mattress a bit. Oh, fuck! Jason's curse is loud as the movement shifts them both. Jason's sliding out of Tim incrementally before pushing back in. A slick slide of movement that's more strange than hurtful. And Tim thinks he can grow to love that feeling. Love the way Jason has to move one hand down and splay it out on his lower back, fingers tense as he holds Tim down. Holds him still, so he can pull back even further before sinking back in. It's centimeters of movement, maybe even millimeters, but it feels like the whole world flying out from under his feet as Jason moans, Tim pushes into the next slide in, takes the bite to his shoulder, and groans loudly at the way Jason's next slide turns into a thrust.
As he pulls out further and further until the next thrust ends with the smack of flesh meeting and Jason's harsh cry as he lifts up and away, leaving Tim's back cold and bringing both hands down to grab Tim around the hips, tilting him up and using his grip to pull Tim into... Jason! Tim's sure he's screaming because that shift, that angle... Nervous snickers and lewd jokes about prostate exams suddenly make more sense and are completely irrelevant because Jason needs to hit that spot again. Tim needs it, even as Jason complies. His thrusts fast and hard, moving through Tim's body as he does his best to push back, to keep himself at that perfect angle. And it's Tim now, muttering a constant litany of, "Please, please, please." "Yes," Jason groans, guttural through his pants. The noises they're both making almost loud enough to cover the slick sounds their bodies make. The creaking of the bed as it shakes with them. "Fuck yes, baby, you're so..." Jason's words choke off with a sharp cry, and his hips jerk forward hard, his careful pace off as his words turn into incoherent cries. He is fucking Tim now, and that makes Tim scrabble and scratch at the bed, desperate to get his hand between him and the mattress he's been humping, to get a hand around his dick and give it more friction, more touch. And it's enough, that first touch of his own hand, to make Tim seize up and come, his entire body tensing and shuddering as he blows his entire mind out over his hand and on the bed. Jason's cries going harsh as he shoves in one last time, pushing deep and curling down until his head is buried against Tim's shaking back, his fingers digging bruises against Tim's skin as they both shake and come apart. Until they're both boneless with it, and slumping down into a mess of sticky limbs and slick lips. Jason rolls Tim over into his arms, and Tim tucks his head against his shoulder and lets himself fall asleep. It takes Tim an extra half hour in the morning to figure out how to get to school from Jason's place, 20 minutes of which is spent being pinned to the front door, making sure that no one who sees him will not know what he was doing last night. Tim buries himself in his hoodie and focuses on not thinking about it. Instead, he thinks about how he's going to get through the day with none of the materials he needs for classes, and how he's going to avoid Stephanie at lunch. He's not entirely sure which he's looking forward to the least. Her inevitable teasing about his walk of shame to school, or the recruitment speech Dick has no doubt been lecturing her on giving him since the night before. He gets a seat to himself on the bus for the moment, and half dozes as he thinks and plans, breathing in the way his hoodie smells like smoke and gun oil.
End. Across the oceans, fly on the skyline, drive any road that bring me by your side.
Reader's notes. This podfic was recorded as a gift for ITPE 2024 for Deepest Blue Sky, because after creeping through all of your bookmarks for DCU, it turns out we have incredibly similar tastes in Tim Jason, and one of my fave things, which I'm hoping is also a thing you enjoy, is sort of alternate paths Tim might have taken where he doesn't end up as Robin, but he still ends up, like, mask adjacent, because... as tags that I used in 2016 say, baby Tim Drake is obsessive and easily swayed by exciting people in cat suits. Or in this case, Babs is in a wheelchair. But once upon a time, she did have a cat suit or, you know, a lycra spandex supersuit. The point is, Tim getting some other hero mentor and sort of being adjacent to the Bat-Fam. He will always be adjacent to the Bat-Fam, but his Tiny Tim stalker tendencies are just so good for me, and this
this bit where Jason's nickname for him is Baby Snitch, like Baby Bird or, you know, whatever, but like Baby Snitch, it's just so good. It's so clawing at the walls and chewing on furniture because there's so much of that, like also sort of the, this bit in this fic where Dust to Dust talks about how Barbara is more on the, not morally neutral, because she is very definitely a morally good character, but like she understands that sometimes she's a lot closer to Jason's alignment about sometimes the bullet is help. And then so Tiny Tim, with his obsessive tendencies and having Barbara as his mentor, right? Like, it's just so... Give the baby stalker, you know, parental permission to continue stalking is so good for me. There are two other fics in this series. The series is called Doubtful Sanity. And I think for ITPE, I might only get around to doing one other one in this series. So whatever doesn't get done now will potentially be done sometime in 2025. Or later! I am not making promises, just that the rest of the series is also a absolute delight. Dust to Dust has some really great handles on, like, one of the stories in the series is sort of alternate POVs and scenes that didn't make it into this fic, and has a beautiful handle on some of these outside perspectives of Tim and Jason and Barbara, and just, like, their relationship with each other, and it's so good for me. Thank you again to Dust for having blanket permission to Podfic. Deepest Blue Sky, I hope you enjoyed this. I hope it gave you something to think about and percolate and alternate Tim Drakes that might have been, and all of the ways that his obsessiveness could be channeled in slightly different angles and slightly different directions and around slightly different corners and still being essentially Tim Drake, but just like maybe highlighting some of his other alternate paths he could have been, because I really like this one. Everyone else who's listening, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out the rest of the ITPE 2024 collection. I believe some of these works are going to be on the AO3. But also, just as a heads up, this year, the Informal Twitter Podfic Exchange is, in fact, the Informal Tumblr Podfic Exchange 2024 onwards into the future. We are switching to Tumblr, and for next year, if you're interested, come find us. It is the most wonderful time of the year. It is a non-denominational multi-fandom gift exchange, because Podfic fandom loves gifts. So yes, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.